Welcome to the presentation of Grupo Sura in the fourth quarter 2019. I'll be your operator for today. Right now, all of the attendees are in silent mode. Ahead, we'll have a Q&A session. For those that are in the English session and connected only by web, please send us your question through the platform. Please keep in mind that this teleconference is being recorded. As of now, we give the floor to Juan Carlos Gomez, Manager of Investor Relations, to begin this teleconference. Good morning, and thank you for joining us in this teleconference of results of the fourth quarter of 2019 of Grupo Sura. I'd like to remind you that you can access the recording of this conference at gruposura.com. There you can also find the presentation we follow today. To the attendees of the line in English on the webcast, you can find the presentation both in English and in Spanish. And the questions will be received through the platform. Today, we have in this call from Grupo Sura, our CEO, David Bojanini, Ricardo Jaramillo, Vice President of Corporate Finance, Juan Luis Mundina, VP of Legal Affairs, Luis Fernando Soto, Manager of Accounting. And from our affiliates, we have Carlos Oquendo, VP of Corporate Finance of Sura Asset Management, and Juan Fernando Uribe, VP of Finance of Investments of Sura Americana. Now let's give the floor to our CEO, David Bojanini. Good morning, and we'd like to specially greet all of those that have joined us in this teleconference of the results of the year 2019 of Grupo Sura. We'd like to begin inviting you to look at slide number 5, where we have the highlights of Grupo Sura during the year 2019. I'd like to begin mentioning that the company gained great results with a net profit that has record high. This profit was driven by great operational dynamics as well as better revenues from investments, which were achieved because of the good performance of the capital markets. Our operating revenues during the year climbed to 21.9 trillion pesos, up 13.3%. Our operating profit reached 3 trillion pesos, up almost 20%. And net earnings of the company reached 1.7 trillion pesos, up 27.9%, displaying a record high for the company. As to the developments of the strategy, we can mention that one of our goals has been the increased profitability of our portfolio, and we advanced 55 basic points in the ROE adjusted of the company or of the portfolio, and that we've been executing a project which is the capital optimization, where our goal is to optimize 2.5 trillion pesos. And some of these strategies were executed during the year, and we'll be mentioning them throughout this presentation. So these are really disinvestments which were made during the year. And in some previous years, we've had, for instance, disinvestments from 2017 to 2019 for 500 million pesos, which mainly are disinvestments in annuities made in Peru, Chile, and Mexico. We also have other minor disinvestments such as Sodexo, Talix Salud, and Brinks. So all of this has gained in this capital optimization process. There we'll see also that we have other operating strategies that we'll be explaining throughout this presentation. As to the reduction of the debt of Grupo Sura, well, in 2019 we had a reduction of 380 billion pesos. And in the 2017-2019 period, we have reduced our debt for a value of 850 billion pesos, It's also worth mentioning that we've had major advancements in the transformation of the business and the delivery of more value to our customers, topics that will rise as well during this presentation. For our next shareholders meeting, we will present two major proposals. One related to profits. Our dividend will have a total growth of 15.3%. With regard to an ordinary and a special dividend, and both added create that growth of 15.3%. And we will also present a proposal of a repurchase of shares of Grupo Sura, which can reach up to 300 billion pesos in a three-year term. It was also known recently, the announcement of my leave of the company after 40 years of service in the group and 13 as a CEO of Grupo Sura. And recently, we also announced the appointment of Gonzalo Perez as the new CEO. Gonzalo Perez has a background as well of 38 years in the group, and mainly his background has been in the insurance sector, where, among many, many things, he has contributed a lot of innovation to the insurance business and obviously participated with his team in the entire expansion process of Suramericana with the purchase of RSA and in Central America and the Caribbean to be present today in 9 countries. Besides, Gonzalo Perez is a person that has had a seat in different board of directors such as of Bancolombia, of Nutresa, and Celsia, boards in which today he is a member. And also in other times, he's been a member of the board of Sura Asset Management and of the board of the cement companies. So he really has a very vast experience, not only insurance business, but he knows very well the entire portfolio of Grupo Sura. And we're convinced that he is a very suitable person for this position. So with this, I end my comments about the highlights of Grupo Sura, and I give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, our CFO, who will give you a detailed explanation about the repurchase of shares and of the results we obtained during the year 2019. Thank you so much, David. Now I invite you to look at slide 6. On this slide, we can see the proposal to reacquire the shares that we are going to present to the Assembly, first pointing out that this is a tool that we want to have in the administration to manage financial resources and the entire capital assignment process of the company. Its amount that we're talking about, 300 billion pesos for a three-year term, and the idea is that the request will be made to delegate it so the Assembly can delegate to the board determining the conditions that will be held for these operations to adapt mechanisms for the equal treatment for the different shareholders. So where does this amount come from? Basically, we looked at it at three fronts. One, it's a significant amount related to the conditions of the Colombian market and the conditions of supply and demand that we have today. Two, it's got to be reasonable according to the reference of international standards that we've made for these types of companies. Here, simply, I'd like to tell you that we look, for instance, that 80% of the companies of 500 Standard & Poor conduct this, and that this would be an innovation for our market with this order of ideas. We're talking about 1.6% of the company, and the referentiation, again, is marked at percentages of that level. And the third item is fundamental, and it's also connected to the different assignments that we have for our free cash flow available, also with the same vision of a process to deleverage process investment and the process to pay dividends. So what's the rationale of the operation? This rationale should be seen from different viewpoints. One, to provide the administration the option to have a new tool used to manage its capital. Second, we are aware, we see that the market price does not reflect the estimated value we consider, which is fundamental for the portfolio. Third, we see the Grupo Sura shares as an excellent alternative of investment, connecting this with the prior item, and therefore to give a positive return to the shareholders and a way to return the money or capital to our shareholders. Now let's please move on to slide 7. And there we can see the financial situation. I'd like to highlight what happened on the balance sheet of the company on the title. And it's basically a debt reduction, higher value of investments, and also a reflection of the disinvestments we've been conducting. And everything contributed to the increase of the net profit, which explains the equity growth. Therefore, we observe that the assets of the company reached 69 trillion pesos, down 2.9%. The main items that moved during that year were getting out of the annuities, which decreased the investments related to this business. And on the other hand, the growth of investments because of the dynamics of the capital markets in the different companies. When it comes to liabilities, these reached about 41 trillion, down 7.3. And the main cause of this drop is because of two things. One, the sale of the annuities, which is taking out the reserves in our balance sheet. And second, the decrease of the debt that I will discuss before ahead. So this means a growth of equity of 4.4% with the net profit of the period. Let's move on, please, to the next slide. As I said, I am going to give you an explanation of the reduction of debt and why this has been a purpose for Grupo Sura in past years. This reduction of debt is necessary for the consolidated individual, along with what we've given to deleverage and connected to what David said initially, to optimize the capital, which allow us to accelerate this deleveraging processes. In terms of the consolidation, we are in a total of 9.4 trillion pesos. The individual financial debt is at 4.6 trillion. And here I highlight that we've decreased in the past year 380 trillion pesos, equivalent to a reduction of 7%. And very importantly, to see from 2017 to 2019, understanding that in 2017 was the highest point of our debt, how in the recent years we reduced this to 850 billion pesos. And we can see this in the different indicators. In the net debt indicator of dividends, it's now at 4.1. versus the highest moment of debt of 5.6, and the other indicator of leverage or loan to value, right now we are at 13.1 versus 18.3. I'd also like to highlight a strategy we had during 2019, which was to decrease the exposure of the companies to the dollar. Today, we have about 10% of the debt of the company exposed to the dollar versus 33% that we had in 2017. Lastly, as I said before, we have a series of initiatives that allow us to optimize the capital invested in the company, and that part of that optimization of capital and those flows coming from that optimization may be distributed, used to reduce the leverage quicker. Now let's move to slide 9, in which you can see a summary of consolidated results. Here I want to look at the main figures and the details, or the causes of the main movements will be explained when we talk about the companies or when we look at segments. So let's begin to highlight what we said in the introduction. We had an excellent growth of the net growth, which reached a record high of 1.7 trillion, growing 28%, and the gain of the controller or holding of 29.9%. When we look at earnings, we can see that we're reaching 22 trillion of 13.3%. And as you can see, each one of the items of our revenues had a positive growth. A growth which consolidated was above 100% basic points compared to expenses, which grew 12.3, which allowed us to reach an operating revenue of a growth of 19.5%. It's important to highlight as well that the taxes item grew as well, mainly explained by some effects at Surta Asset Management that we'll explain when we look at the detail of that company. On the right-hand side of that slide, you can see a quarterly development of our increased profitability. And here you can see the adjusted ROE, which is not the accounting, but it really has to do with the excluding the amortization expenses related to acquisitions. And the equity is also adjusted, understanding the economic share that we have in the operating accounting of the operations minus our liabilities. So we see that although in this last quarter there was a reduction, the positive trend year by year continues developing in our increased profitability. In slide 10, we can graphically see this performance of the profit, and we can see that Surta Americana subtracted here about 143 billion pesos, and I'll explain this ahead. Surta Asset Management was positive, and it contributed 52,000 million, and everything has to do with the associates, especially Bancolombia, contributed an increase reaching 87 billion pesos, and when we look at the items related to Grupo Surta as an independent entity, we see that difference of exchange has a positive effect, not only because of the exchange rate, but because of the good management of coverages that I mentioned when we looked at the slide of debt. Also, when it comes to interest, we can see an increase of 22 billion pesos related specifically to the IFRS 16 and to a higher expense of coverages because of the strategy previously mentioned. Another important item is that we see that there are 24 billion positive related to the investments made, like those of Sodexo that we made at the end of the year, and we also have different tax strategies of the holding made in recent years. So with this, we reach the figure of 1.3 billion and the net profit of the holding of 1.5 billion, up 29%. So now let's listen to David to tell us about the highlights of Surta Americana El Seguros. Thank you so much, Ricardo. Now I invite you to look at slide number 12, where we'll look at the highlights of Surta Americana. Now I'd like to begin by saying that this company had a very positive growth in its earnings, which is one of the major goals that we have, the consolidation of the acquisitions of RSA, where mainly what we want is to have a better position in each of the countries. And I believe that from the viewpoint of the growth of premiums, this has been achieved. Unfortunately, there were specific impacts in Argentina, in Chile, and in the health sector of Colombia, which hurt the net profit, as we'll explain to you ahead. The premiums issued by Surta Americana rose to 13.3 billion, trillion pesos, up 10.9% or 13.1% if we exclude Argentina. Also, we must highlight the revenue for services provided, which is that of healthcare of Epe-Sensura, which reached revenues of 3.8 trillion pesos, up 23.6%. Here we have to highlight that the EPS during the year received from other EPSs that had difficulties a bit more than 500,000 new affiliates, and many of them arrived with repressed diseases or pathologies, which hurt the cost and health, as we'll explain to you ahead. The net profit of Sudamericana, therefore, reached the figure of 390 billion pesos, meaning a decrease of 25.6% or of 10.3% excluding Argentina. So what I said, there's a good operating dynamics, there's good growth of revenues and premiums. However, there were specific effects that I'd like to mention right now. For instance, the VAT, or which the new tax reform is given on, is placed on life commissions, is a new cost, which meant 52.1 trillion pesos during the year 2019. When it comes to health, as I said before, well, there was a higher claims ratio because of the massive arrival of affiliates from other EPSs, because there were premiums for incapabilities that decreased during the year, and the rate of these premiums, and everything like this hurt significantly the claims ratio of EPS SUDA, which, despite it all, closed the year with a net profit of 21 billion pesos. But of that profit, there's a decrease in absolute terms of 47 billion pesos compared to the year before. The good news, however, is that by 2020, those premiums and the payment unit for capitation were revised by the government, and we hope to have better results in 2020 if there's nothing special taking place when it comes to the EPS. Also included in those specific effects with regards to property and casualty, we have to mention the case of Argentina, where the crisis there affects or produces a negative result of 88 billion pesos, which of course hurts the profit of Sudamericana. And also when it comes to the protests experienced in Chile and vandalism, there were additional claims of about 40 billion pesos, which also has an impact on the profit of this company. In these cases, both in Argentina and Chile, we hope that there is a stabilization and that we can have a better year ahead. As to the strategy of Sudamericana, well, we've established a project of Suda businesses, which is focused on SMEs in 8 countries with physical facilities to serve the SME customers, which in all these 8 countries are about 1.2 million businesses, potential businesses, to which we can provide the Suda businesses services. We've also been implementing the individual life insurance in the region. We made this in 8 countries. We're only missing Brazil, where we're studying it to soon have our individual life insurance there. And in this capital optimization process, we'd like to mention that when it comes to Sudamericana, we carried out with the health solution what we call premium equal collection, which optimizes the amount of the reserves and improves the working capital. That impact will be fully seen in 2020. We also saw or observed the merger of the labor risks manager with that life company. So this merger also optimizes the capital of that insurance company already merged, which will liberate significant capital for the company. Soon, we'll have a spinoff of the remnant portfolio to materialize that capital optimization. As we mentioned before, among the disinvestments made, we include that of Sodexo and Palex Salud in Dominican Republic. This also has an impact in the capital of the insurance company. This company had an ROE adjusted of 9% and ROTE adjusted of 11.4%. And lastly, I'd like to mention that the company has been making alliances with several of the companies of the portfolio of Suda Ventures, such as that of Pager, in which we've been digitalizing the service of medical consultancies. We already have this assembled. It's been operating well. And with another company called ZenDrive, which is in charge of monitoring the drive of vehicles from cell phones of the drivers. So we've been advancing with these alliances, and we expect this will provide benefits for the customers in both cases. With this, then, I give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will provide you more explanations about the results of Sudamericana. Thank you, David. Now let's look at slide 13. And here you'll see the most relevant figures of the income statement of Sudamericana. I'd like to highlight the increase of the cost of health in property and casualty, especially in Argentina and Chile, hurt the results of the year. First, let's begin with revenues. Here I'd like to highlight how the premiums issued plus the revenues for services provided reached 17.1 trillion, up 2 billion, which highlights the scale of the company, and this represents a growth of 13.5%. Looking at the indicators, which are the reflection of the claims ratio that we observe or that we've been pointing out before, we see how the claims ratio of reserve plus reserves grew 11%, 10 basic points above the year before. In the cost of services provided, we have what we've seen in prior quarters with an increase of 170 basic points in cost versus revenues. The technical result reached 2.4 trillion and practically was flat in the year. Operating expenses displayed a slight improvement of 20 basic points along with the different strategies efficiency. In taxes, we see a decrease in the consolidated of Sudamericana, mainly reflected by the effects of Argentina, the topic of impacts and everything in the income statement of the company. And lastly, I'd like to highlight the good dynamics and the revenues from investments, especially because of the fixed income of the portfolio up 18.4%. Now let's look at slide 14. Where we see graphically the development of the net profit of the company. Here we'd like to highlight the specific impacts of the different segments, how these were compensated by positive operating dynamics and organic growth. Net profit in 2018 was 525 billion to end the year with 390 billion, down 25% or 134 billion pesos. And so when we look at the three segments, we have some specificities. First, in life, we had a contribution that was positive, 52 billion, up 10% in the profit in the segment. Even with the negative impact of the VAT, 52 billion pesos. With casualty and property, we're talking about a growth of 143 billion pesos. Mainly because of two effects, because of Argentina, because of the macroeconomic and political situation that you know of in that country. And in the case of Chile, there's an increase in the last quarter because of the claims ratio related to the protest and social disruption that we've seen in that country. So that lead us to a decrease, again, of $143 billion. When it comes to health, we've also mentioned the impacts of health that reflect a decrease of $47 billion. And if we add those four negative impacts, we're talking about 230 billion pesos, which were compensated by 100 billion by the rest of the business in that message of the positive organic growth. Now, when we look at the corporate segment of the different items that grew with a profit of 4 billion pesos, this is reflected by lower taxes in Suramericana at the holding, and a higher profit in others related to the disinvestments that we mentioned as well of Palak and Selexco. It's important to clarify that the net profit without Argentina would be 477 billion pesos, up only 10%. Now let's look at slide 15, where you can see some of the main figures related to the segment of life, pointing out that we continue having this segment as a driver of the profits of the company and had good operating results and investments. The net profit of the segment reached almost 560 billion pesos, up 10.2%. We can see in the different solutions that they all have a very good positive in retained premiums, which grew 21.1%. The claims ratio on the bottom of the slide, on the left-hand side, you can see that it had a performance in the year of 30 basic points improvement. In the middle bottom, you can see the operating expenses dropped 60 basic points when you look at this as a percentage of retained premiums. And when it looks at the industrial result and revenues for investments and the different quarters of the year, you can see that the result, the industrial, was different in every quarter, and the net of both items gives us a positive net that we mentioned. Moving on to slide 16, you can see some of the main figures of the segment of property and casualty. We know now that Argentina and Chile hurt this segment. The adjusted net profit was 36 billion pesos. And you can see the good dynamic growth with the premiums decline, especially in Colombia. You can see the contribution growing 8.5%. And the other countries, which grew positively, Mexico 36%, Brazil 11%, Dominican Republic 15%. Looking on the bottom left of slide 16, you can see the claims ratio related to the different impacts that we've mentioned. In the total of the year, the claims ratio grew 60 basic points, and we also had an impact of these operation expenses that grew because of the impacts mentioned. On the other hand, we see revenues from investments, great performance in the fourth quarter, which helped us to have this profit that we've mentioned of $36 billion. Moving on to slide 17, now we look at the health segment. And in the last quarters, we've been explaining to you extensively what's happening in this sector in Colombia. Here we want to show you the stabilization in the claims ratio and the effects, the positive effects of the different initiatives we've had to control costs. At the end of the year, we had a positive results, as I said before, of 21 billion pesos. The quarter was great, growing up to 19 billion pesos. We'd like to highlight in the next graph the dynamics of this sector in the past 5 years, and you can see how revenues related to services provided has doubled in that period of time. Also, you can see how the administrative expenses of this company have dropped, especially because of the scale and efficiencies to operate the business. And on the right hand, you can see on this slide the results that reached 3.7 million affiliates, 17.9% growth, which is a growth of revenues of 50%, as David said before. And on the very bottom right, you can look at the development of the second quarter, where you could see a situation of more claims ratio related to the migrations of affiliates, which were repressed. But it's important to see that in the third and fourth quarter, the figure of claims ratio or of cost versus revenues is stable, and the segment's profit is more aligned with what we had in prior quarters. Now let's listen to David to talk about the highlights of Suda Asset Management. Thank you, Ricardo. Now I invite you to look at slide 19, where you can look at the highlights of Suda Asset Management. And its net profit in 2019 grew 66%, mainly driven by the yield of the reserve. As we already said, the capital markets had a better performance in 2019, and this is reflected in the company's profits. But we'd also like to say that the operating result of the business also contributed to those good results. The company closed with 20.5 million customers, meaning a growth of 3.7%. And here it's worth mentioning that in Peru, where last year we were awarded the bid of new affiliates for pension funds, we had 252,000 new affiliates, which has allowed the company to improve the average age of the entire portfolio of its affiliates, and that is very positive. The net profit of the entire continuous operations of the company reached 716 billion pesos, up 65.8%. The mandatory business had displayed a great growth in the commissions. It grew 8.3% during 2019, which is very good. The performance of investments when it comes to the pension funds, they had a yield of 15%, and that 15% is really related to reserves, which is part of the revenue of this company. And of these funds, we observed alpha positive in Chile and Mexico. When it comes to Colombia and Peru, we've been working on improving the portfolios so that we can possibly announce a positive alpha this year, 2020, in this segment. Anyways, we have been increasing profitability levels in every country. When it comes to savings and investments, I would say that the best is in Chile. Still, there are discussions in Parliament. The Chamber has approved changes like contributions, and AFPs will not be handling the levels or the amounts. There's more flexibility for the age of retirement. The person can choose if they want to move back their retirement. We've also moved on proposals of commissions when the profitability of the funds is not that good. Anyways, there's a series of things. But overall, what we seek with these reforms is to improve the rates of replacements of pensions with the contributions. When it comes to Colombia, we've been announcing a project. We hope to get to know it well to tell you what it consists of. We hope it's something positive to improve the coverage and to improve the overall conditions of the person's pension. And in Mexico, some announcements have been made for an increase of the contributions to pension funds
which is very necessary in that country. With regards to savings and investments or wealth management, the year displayed a great net flow of 5.1 trillion pesos, which means an increase in assets under management of 25.8%. The company has been working strongly in increasing this segment of savings and investments, and the results have been seen in the different countries. And when it comes to investment management, during the year, 6 new alternative asset funds were created, such as real estate, or infrastructure, or private debt. And we have 136 new institutional customers. When it comes to assets under management for investment management, these grew 17%, excluding the decrease in these assets of the sale of the annuities business in Chile, which added up to $1.5 million in assets. So despite this exclusion, the company maintained the AUM levels that it has in investment management. Total assets managed under management were 483 trillion, up 15.5%. You can highlight the participation of Chile, which represented 29%, Protección 23%, Mexico 21%, Peru 14%, Uruguay 2%, El Salvador 4%, and the investment management unit 7%. With regards to the strategy, I'd like to mention that when it comes to investments management, the platform of Aladdin of BlackRock has been implemented in different countries. We received acknowledgments from Morningstar for handling the portfolio, especially in Mexico. And we adopted as well the principles for responsible investment, which is very important for sustainability to adopt these types of policies. When it comes to innovation and digital technology, we've been investing heavily in analytics to get to know our customers better, platforms that have AI, and automation of many processes to optimize costs in the company. As to channels, it's important to mention the relevance that the digital channel has gained, especially in Chile, where 25% of the new affiliations are made through this channel, and the digital channel is also held in Peru and brought to Colombia as well. The implementation of kiosks and self-services, especially in Mexico, and the different apps that we've been implementing, some of them interactive, others to consult information, all of those with the purpose of providing a better service to our customers and to provide information closer to them and for easier access. Lastly, when it comes to human talent, the company participated in Great Place to Work rankings in most in every country with special places, and seeking the opportunities so that every day it can be more attractive and keep its human resources longer and to have it much more trained and professional. This ends the highlights of Suda Asset Management, and now let's listen to Ricardo Jaramillo to tell us in more details the results of Suda Asset Management. Thank you, David. Now let's look at slide 20, where you can see some of the main figures of the income statement of Suda Asset Management. First, you can see the growth of all the business revenues lines, and you can see the growth of 75% of the operating profit. Let me look at the company had operating revenues of 3.2 trillion, 836 billion pesos, which represents a growth of 35.1%. And on the right-hand side, you can see we moved from revenues to 3.2, especially because of the items of commissions, which grew 3.9, and the item of yield the reserves, which we, as we've said, the capital work markets during 2019 performed very well, very different to what we saw in 2018. Operating expenses of the company reached 1.3 trillion, up 14.2%, lower than the growth of revenues. This shows the control of administration expenses, higher expenses because of the acquisition of customers, because of what we've seen in different countries, and expenses that have to do the transformations of the company, and more services provided to customers. Particularly, you can see that sales expenses grew because of the dynamics, especially operating costs also grew. We can see 1.4 billion pesos up of these costs. And as we mentioned, the difference of 2018-2019, there's a good yield, an implicit yield of 15% in the investments of the company. Moving on to slide 21, you can see here graphically the profit of the company. We see that the mandatory segment is still the one that drives the profits, growing almost 48% or contributing 383 billion pesos with this drive. Also, we have two partial impacts, one in exchange difference. Here you can see a positive sum of 95 billion pesos because of a cash flow that the company had in Chile, which managed well in dollars, and at the end the result was very positive in terms of exchange difference. And on the other hand, an increase of the income tax of corporate, which was mainly explained by taxes which had to be paid by because we brought some money from Chile. And this was possible after simplifying the corporation underway, that we had underway in the company. And also it's reflected with a deferred tax that's related to the dividends that the company expects to bring from the countries during 2020. It's also important to highlight that in the mandatory segment, we collect the taxes related to good revenues from investments made. The company, therefore, ended the year with a profit with growing 76%, ROE adjusted of 8.7%, and an ROTE adjusted of 31%. On slide 22, let's look at some of the main figures of the mandatory segment, where we have the high yield of the reserve and the commercial management. Operating revenues reached 2.6 trillion pesos, up 31.5%. And let's look at the two items here. First, it's commissions, which reached 2 billion, growing 1.8%. That collects two things. In some countries, that has a driver related to UVRs, especially in Mexico, and a component of Peru, which is a mixed commission, as you know, and the countries that have a salary base like Colombia, Uruguay, and Chile, and which have shown decreases like in Uruguay and the salary base of Peru, which has grown 0.8%. And on the other hand, the revenues from reserves, which you can see in the bottom center, and you can see in 2018 was bad, but 2019 was great. I'd like to highlight as well the new affiliates of FIDU, 252,000 that we mentioned before, and this really surpasses our expectations and the positive dynamics of the evolution of alternative channels, which although, as you can see in the administrative expenses and of acquisition, have been growing because of the commercial dynamics, especially in Mexico and Chile, this climb is lower because of the lower of these alternative channels. Moving on to slide 23, we see some of the main figures of the voluntary segment, which has to do with AUM and A&I and investment management. We'd like to emphasize the positive cash flow and the revenues. Revenues reached 400 billion pesos, up 24.1%. And here we can see the AUMs in savings and investments grew 26%, reaching 35 trillion. Again, you can see a net flow, which we observe as well in the graph bottom right. And you can see comparing 2019 with the other years is very positive, looking at all the commercial capabilities we've been developing in this business unit. On the other hand, when it comes to AUMs of investment management, we have 34.4 trillion. And if we could exclude the annuities of Chile, it really grew 70%. And let's look at the trend of this business in the last 4 years. You have a growth of operating revenues compound of 17.4 from 246 billion in 2016 to 200 billion. And we see that growth really was driven by 24%. And on the bottom graph, you can see the positive leverage where the administrative acquisition expenses grew lower than the revenues. These are the main figures of this segment. So with this, let's begin the Q&A session. Thank you. As of now, we have the Q&A session. We will begin receiving the questions orally in Spanish. For those that are listening in English or are only connected by web, please send your question through the platform. Later, we'll be reading and answering your questions. For those that are in the Spanish line, please, if you have a question, press star followed by 1. If you want to remove your question, just press pound. Right now, we have Julian from Davivienda Corredores. Hello, good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for your presentation of results. And specifically, I would like to make 2 questions. One, with regards to Suramericana, we'd like to know if the claims ratio effect in Chile has been registered already, or will it be registered during this first quarter? And please tell us more about the taxes of SWAM and everything has to do with the annuities and if the repatriation has been done entirely or do you still have money pending to bring to Colombia. Okay. Juan Fernando Uribe from Suramericana will answer your first question and Ricardo Jaramillo the second question. Okay. When it comes to the claims ratio of Chile in December, it's right now, and also with the component of the reinsurers, so we had a higher effect than the claims ratio retained. Ahead, we have we're starting really to look at conversations with reinsurers. We're going to be looking at the rates. We'll also looking at what's happening with the transfers and how we'll be correcting some accounts receivables. That's basically what we're looking at. And the second question will be replied by Carlos Oquendo from SWAM. Thank you, Julian. Julian, when it comes to the taxes that we incurred in Chile because of the money that we brought from there, I must clarify something. Because through a partnership restructuring, as of this year, as of 2019, we also started to bring dividends from Chile that we didn't bring before. So the effect is both because of the dividends and because of the cash that we had after selling the annuities business. So for 2020, we have thought to bring the dividends from Chile, but not the cash that we still have after selling the annuities business. We're going to leave that in Chile, invested and waiting for investments that the company can make. That cash that will stay in Chile exceeds $100 million. So on that side, we do not have a budget really of any impact for taxes, but we do believe it will be more recurrent because of the dividends that we bring from Chile year after year. Julian, a question. Did you listen well, the answer of Juan Fernando Uribe, or do you want us to repeat it? We're told that his sound wasn't good. Yeah, I did listen to his answer. Thank you so much. We have Andres Soto. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. One, when you look at the results of the company in 2019, a positive factor was the profitability of investments, and that compensated overall several negative effects that took place, some one-off. I would like to understand, when you look at 2020, where the portfolio's performance is more normalized, what can you expect when it comes to the growth of profitabilities, both of the holding as well as SWAM and Sudamericana? And particularly, given the recent volatility of the markets, how have the shares performed since then? Let's begin with that, and then I'll ask you the second question. Perfect, Andres. There are several items that you've mentioned. Let's begin with the last part. In January was very positive in terms of the returns of the portfolios, but definitely, although we don't have the figures yet, but February will display what's happened worldwide because of the coronavirus. This something we have to look at how the markets will evolve step by step. In both companies, we have budgeted that the return of investments will return to a normal, quote-unquote, level. We have a statistical analysis of the portfolios and what we can expect in different scenarios, but clearly, as you've said, our financial statements have volatility related to the return of investments, and that's a significant part of our balance. When it comes to structure, we do believe that we will have the increased profitability of the companies, not only of Sudamericana and SWAM, but also of Bancolombia, according to the guidance that the bank has in the market. And with these ideas and with all the strategies that we've mentioned, with efficiencies, new channels, etc., we expect to have a positive growth of profits, not one similar to what we had in 2019, clearly, but we do expect, provided there are no specific impacts like the ones we had last year, our growth this year will be positive. In terms of Sudamericana, we hope to grow again and to show the strategies we have in different countries and to reach profit levels that have good gains, SWAM. I think that it can have a drop of profitabilities, but when it comes to commissions, efficiencies, expenses of acquisitions and operations, we do hope to have proper levels that will allow us to handle the volatility related to reserves. Overall, I would say that that's our expectation. Okay, thank you, Ricardo. Second question, when it comes to capital optimization plan, could you share with us more about this? You talked about $2.5 billion, you 70% already executed. What happens with the 30 remaining? And is there an impact of the reduction of debt for 2020? So let me explain better the capital optimization. This is an initiative that the three companies took, and we have several teams from all three companies, and the idea is to look at each operation in each country to understand if the capital level they have is proper or if we can have efficiencies through different methods. Maybe if it's very high, it could go to the holding, or if for one reason it's got a non-strategic asset that we can disinvest, or if it has working capital, a premium equals charge. So we've been working on this all year. I'd like to highlight the big thing is not only the figure, but to look at the discipline acquired by the companies to monitor carefully the balance sheets, and that way to optimize the capital and increase profitability. We're talking about 17 initiatives that have an execution plan for 17 years, and by 2020 we will have new initiatives or a capability that we will maintain, and that figure will, as you said, is already executed. The other topics are underway, and the bottom line here is that we will have a capability to recirculate the money in what we want to invest, to give back to the holding or sub-holding to decrease the debt. And there, going on to your second question, all three companies have made a cash flow exercise, consolidated individual, and each one has a plan to amortize its debt. So let's begin with Grupo Sura. As you see, it dropped its debt, and the expectation for this year is that we will have a deleverage close to 280 billion pesos. And here I'd like to say that the use of capital or resources available for cash flow of Grupo Sura this year will be divided by the service to the debt or the reduction for the deleverage, the possibility, because it's a possibility to reacquire the shares, which will be presented to the shareholders assembly. And we are aware that this company should increase its yield today. So according to this, we want to give you peace of mind that we have all the components of cash flow connected for that deleveraging. Now let's listen to Juan Fernando Uribe, who will talk about the deleveraging of Suramericana. Yes, when it comes to, remember, we have a reduction of pesos, and in June this year, and also we have resources to make the due payment. Also ahead, we're talking about the resources retained. So with what Juan is saying and what I mentioned, Andres, I end by providing you information of our plan of the indicators of Grupo Sura, and it's to reduce the indicator of dividends. I think it's year 3.8, which is lower than what we presented in the highest debt level in 2017. Okay, thank you so much for your complete answer. Catherine Ortiz from the Vivienda Corredores. Good morning to everyone. Thank you for this opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First, I'd like to know if the update made of the payment of capitation is what you expected, or could we still see additional adjustments? That's my first question. Second, the proposal of the decree to regulate in Colombia the management of voluntary pension funds. I would like to know what's your opinion about that new bill, and mainly focused on the opening the possibility to fierce competition in this segment, and that would provide some impact on the commissions of the funds. And the proposal of repurchasing the shares, could you provide us more details of the mechanism? Thought to execute this repurchase and how it will be conducted? Thank you so much. Okay, with regards to the unit of payment per capitation, we feel very pleased with the adjustments made for this year, and the results show them. When it comes to the bill or the decree of voluntary pensions, Carlos Oquendo can give you the response. And with regards to the repurchase of shares, Ricardo Jaramillo. Hi, Catalina. We are closely looking at the development of the bill or the decree. However, based on what we've been doing at Protección for many years, we've seen that our voluntary pension segment has been acting in an expanded market, not simply acting within the world of the AFPs and voluntary pensions. That's why for about 2 or 3 years now, we've been decreasing unilaterally the commissions, but also we've been providing our customers alternative products which make that reduction of commissions through the market can be compensated. So from that viewpoint, the strategy of the company has been for some years to compete in an expanded market and really to get used to the commissions used in that market. Catherine, and your question when it comes to the reacquisition of shares, I'd like to highlight our proposal is that the assembly will delegate to the board of directors how to determine the conditions to execute this transaction. When it comes to the mechanism used, we're analyzing different mechanisms, understanding that there's a fundamental premise, and we have been clear to state it. It's got to have equal treatment for all shareholders. That's fundamental. We've been discussing this with the superintendents as well. And it should keep in mind that it's got to be efficient and suitable for this practice, because we believe that it could bring about some innovation, not only for us, but for the rest of the market, which could be interesting. And if it's efficient, it will be great for every player involved. Ricardo, an additional question. Is the board forced to publish the mechanism that will be used once the assembly approves this? Is the board, will this mechanism be made public? Well, Catalina, this topic, as I said before, it's so innovative for us. It's fundamental to communicate this highlight in time. So, since we're going to be giving equal treatment to all shareholders, we will be taking small steps in which we will be telling the analysts, the shareholders, we'll be explaining this new practice that will be assimilated by all to increase the dynamics of the marketplace. Perfect. Thank you so much for your answers. Stephanie Mosqueda from Citicorp Capital. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. My first question is on the voluntary business of SWAM. I see that this quarter, this displayed losses higher than those before. I'd like to understand a bit more why that change took place, that trend. And also, if you could give us more guidance on what you expect of the profits of this business in coming years. Carlos Oquendo will respond. Yes, Stephanie. Really, we have budgeted towards the end of the year because of the major commercial dynamics we have, the higher expenses and acquisitions. However, keep in mind the growth of AUM and revenues compared to the organic growth of the market and inorganic growth. And that ratio is quite low. We grow AUMs compared to the money that we lose in this business. The ratio is of 0.3-0.5%, even if we don't keep in mind the yields of the investments. It doesn't go beyond 1.5%. So with for us, strategically, those indicators are still low, and it's important to keep the investments pace, especially because of the acquisition expenses, the alternative channels that we are developing for our customers. So on that hand, we're backed by the net positive flows and record highs we had in Chile, Mexico, Peru, even in the voluntary business of Colombia. However, we do believe that these dynamics will continue 2 or 3 years, keeping in mind that this year also we launched a project in Mexico for the retail savings and investments business. Perfect, thank you. And my second question has to do with the coronavirus. How are your investments distributed in the reserve to have a dimension of the effect of this virus on your balance sheet? Let me tell you, really, we have about in variable income international, which has felt the hurt in the effect in the last weeks. We have about $35 billion. So the impact initially in the first weeks has been compensated with what's happened yesterday and today, where basically the effect has been only half. So our structure in variable income, because of the philosophy and the condition of the reserve, makes this overreaction of the market go hand in hand to bounce back positively. So we have to wait. I think we economically don't know what the effects of this virus will be, but I can say that in these past two days, we've seen a bounce back of more than 50%. Perfect. Thank you. When it comes to Suramericana as to the exposure to variable income, looking at our liabilities and assets, it really has a very low share, minor share in Colombia. It's very significant in its effect, very low effect. When it comes to coronavirus, with the EPS, we are obviously preparing. It's not the first time that we have a virus in Colombia. We've had H1 and H2 and chikungunya. which have led us to make preventive campaigns to treat them. We expect to have emergency consultations for this virus, but we're prepared. So the treatments given to patients are the best. And it said that coronavirus will handle is not mortal. So along with the Ministry of Health, we will be taking a good look at this to contain this virus. Perfect. Thank you. Right now, we have Daniel Guardiola. Good morning. I have a question on the return of the reserve. Looking at the results of AUM's of SWAM, you're talking a lot about the reserve, but I'd like to understand this return. My conception is that this is more of an accounting item. It's not cash. So I'd like to know if you deem that the profit of this in SWAM, when you give the dividends away, how do you see that difference? Carlos Oquendo will answer this question. Daniel, you're right. The concept of a reserve is one in which we have to maintain our equity invested in a percentage in the same funds, where we also have invested the affiliate. So from that viewpoint, it's clear that these are concepts of cash. However, for us, when we make the measurements of the company operationally and we look at the indicators of debt and our cash flow, we clearly see that when we are going to look at dividends, we look at them through cash. When it comes to debt of service, and so anyways, when we have these reserves that are positive in the companies where the mandatory business charges over the AUMs, very positive impacts that turn into cash. For instance, in Mexico, after the positive reserve of last year, the AUM increased 20%, where 65% of that AUM increase came from yields, while 35% from contributions. And in this case of Mexico, and also charging in Peru, because of the regulatory changes in the last 5 years, we've been charging over AUMs. Those increases do turn into cash. But we're talking more increases of commissions from yields and the increase of UM than reserve. It's not the reserve. Thank you. And along with the previous question, could you share with us which would be the adjusted ROE if we eliminated the reserve, eliminating that reserve of SWAM? The EBITDA and other indicators that we handle, excluding the reserve, with Juan Carlos, we can send you that information. Daniel? Right now, we have no more questions. Now, David Bohanini will give the final remarks. Before I say goodbye, keeping in mind that it's my last chance to share with you the teleconference, I'd like to thank you all for your interest and for joining Grupo Suda during the 13 years that I've headed this company. Beyond all the situations of the market, I feel very satisfied for what we've obtained these 13 years, and especially the achievements made with the expansion of the group and enhancing our portfolio. So, again, I would like to thank you for your trust at all times that we've had to discuss with you. Have a good day. Thank you all. This ends our teleconference for today. You may hang up.